Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's Friday Morning GM with co-host Voss Larikos. Voss, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Ken. Very much looking forward to the Ravens commencing their season. And we're at the post bye. Hopefully, we see some adjustments, some improvements, and seems by many measures that the bye could not have come at a better time.
Yeah, I thought good time for a lot of reasons. I thought good time for me personally just to have a week off from a couple bad losses. Close losses. I don't know if they were really bad losses to the Eagles and the Steelers. And happy to just take a week off from some writing, still a heavy podcasting schedule. We got Lamar's 100th game coming up. One of the biggest point spread of the year, it appears to be. But let's talk about Lamar first.
Yeah, I just want to give a quick hat tip to Lamar. Broke onto the scene midway through the 2018 season and has elevated the Ravens back to Super Bowl contender status pretty much his entire time starting. And if you remember where the Ravens were when he was inserted into the lineup, they were coming off three straight years without making the playoffs, and they were not in a position to make the playoffs at that time. 31st ranked rushing offense in the league, finished with the first. I think there's a case to be made as he enters his 100th game that he is the most impactful player, individual player in team history.
Yeah, I don't think that's too far off right now. Now, some of the players who have more than twice as many games played, like Suggs or Lewis, may feel differently about that right now. But Lamar Jackson, since the first day he stepped on the field, has been the most impactful player in terms of how he affects the performance of other players. Yep. And you can make the argument it's all 22, not just all 11 on offense.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. The way he controls the ball on offense certainly helps with defense. He's been a revelation, and so happy to have him on our squad, on our team. And Ozzie Newsome's last first-round pick, quite the legacy he is writing.
Yeah, incredible, incredible last draft for Ozzie there. We also come into a game where the Ravens are a 16-point favorite, last I checked. That seems to be going up every little piece of new news. We'll get into the injury report a little bit, but Tommy DeVito going to start for the Giants as of now. If he doesn't get hurt, then I don't know who it'd be. but the Ravens have been favored by 11 or more points on 31 different occasions in their history. And that's, they did lose a game once where they were favored by 10.5 to Jacksonville in 2011. But at 11 or more,
Monday night. Was that the Monday nighter?
Ugh. Horrible. 12-7 is an awful game. We went down there for it. It was just terrible, terrible. It's one of the few really bad Harbaugh decisions was the onside kick in that game at the end. Just, awful. But anyway, 31-0 when favored by 11+, 25-0 under Harbaugh. I want to give you some math here because you say, well, big deal. They're favored by 11+ points. They should win all those games. Well, no, they shouldn't win all those games. They probably had an average of somewhere between an 85 and 90% chance to win those games. If you assume it was 90% to win each of those games, it's about a 7.2% chance to go 25 of 25. If you assume it was 85%, it drops it to 1.7% that they get through and win 25 out of 25. It's a testament to Harbaugh, not much unlike, but not quite as good, but not unlike his record on Monday Night Football of 21-3. Very, outstanding in both cases, getting his teams. I mean, it's often been something that's been cited, and the Ravens certainly have two losses that fall in this category this year, that they've lost to some bad teams and played down to them. It's not typically been the Ravens' way. The Ravens' way in the Harbaugh era has been to knock the living teeth out of these teams who are distinctly below the Ravens. They've had occasional two exceptions to it, and we just noted several on this show, but primarily they have gotten the job done regularly in those situations.
No question about it. Certainly, I think some of it is due to the play style that Harbaugh prefers as far as play defense and run the ball, is his, you know, Michigan roots, and that reduces variance. So if you're a big favorite, without the variance of high-octane passing offense that can turn the ball over in the air, you're probably going to be a little bit better. But I think really you have to – and there's certainly reasons to critique Harbaugh and to take away and be disgruntled at certain things. But you cannot – certainly not knock his record, season openers and coming off the bye. He has his teams prepared, no question about it.
Yeah, 13-3 coming off the bye. We didn't mention that record, but that's during the Harbaugh era, so that's also very good, obviously. Let's give a brief update on Deontay Johnson, suspended by a game, was not practicing this week. He's not mentioned on the injury reports. I thought that would be good to have NIR suspended on the injury reports, but I don't think they want to underscore it, which is probably a good thing, or maybe it's just the way the NFL wants it reported.
I think this isn't necessarily an open up a roster spot type of suspension. This is an in-house suspension. So maybe that's why it's not listed.
Could be. So we've heard a lot from the players, and we've heard not too much from the coaches this week about what's happening. The players seem to be willing to forgive the wide receiver room. The players who were at the podium this week were positive. I believe both Flowers and Bateman might have answered questions this week. They seem to be amenable to him coming back and, you know, are happy to welcome him back. Harbaugh was more noncommittal about it. I don't know that he's communicated to Johnson what he wants from him. Like, do you need to apologize to the team? Do you need to ask me to apologize to the team? Do you need to come in, apologize, and then I'll tell you what I want you to do with the team? We haven't really seen this. This is really a case where Johnson's agent should be involved and tell him, look, your first step, if you want this to work out, if you don't want to be, you know, this to be your third strike, go to Harbaugh Monday morning, first time you're allowed back in the building, and say, hey, John, I want this to be water under the bridge. What do you need me to do? What would you like for me to do with regard to try to make this right?
From a managerial's perspective, I certainly understand and support Harbaugh taking a hard line in this situation where a player just refuses to enter the game. There's it's just not it's not acceptable, unacceptable. So I certainly support that from Harbaugh. To the larger point, there's been some rumors, musings that Harbaugh's lost the locker room, and there's, based off of the Hard Knocks clips. One thing I'd like to mention is the players were, I believe that the clip they showed on the Hard Knocks was as they were the last meeting before the bye, the players about to go on their bye week. So I don't necessarily expect many players to be super engaged at that point. They probably have their minds on what they're going to do with their week away from the sport. Johnson, the player didn't go in the game. I don't know how you can blame Harbaugh for suspending him there. I think he did the right thing. Should Harbaugh have been able to motivate him to want to go into the game, maybe that's a different question, but that's just too much psychology for me to observe from the couch.
It is, and it would be a lot to make Harbaugh responsible for 53 such relationships during the game in real time, which this seemed to happen in real time, this happened. It's like saying that I don't even know who was his coach at the time, but when Brown left the sideline, ripped off his jersey, and, you know, went skins into the clubhouse.
Arians, I think.
Arians, that was Arians, okay. At Tampa.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how you can control that kind of behavior. And obviously, this has happened before. I have heard other instances where this has happened in a game. And, you know, how they deal with that. And when I say that in a game, somebody, usually it'll take the guise of somebody leaving for the clubhouse early, perhaps under the guise of an injury. And, you know, they expect that player to be back and available to take snaps at the end of a game, and he's not. And things like that can happen. They have happened in the past. But, you know, the organization is as good as they can be at not throwing the player under the bus when they don't deserve to be thrown under the bus or when it's not necessary to throw them under the bus. This case, I think it was 100% necessary to let the entire public know that he refused to go in the game. I think it's absolutely the correct thing to do to basically reduce Deontay Johnson's future earnings in this league for his behavior.
Yeah, and it came from the general manager at the Costa's mouth, or his statement, I should say. Not from John Harbaugh, which was probably a smart move as a way to sort of, you know, the different levers or the different tiers and the silos, as you like to call them. I thought that was smart of the team. To me, I mean, this is team first is what's been our motto, or my motto, at least throughout this questionnaire and these series and these questions. And one of the most egregious acts against the team that I can recall, to be honest.
All right. Now, injury report is night and day between the Giants and Ravens. Take us through that.
Yeah, so pretty short and sweet. Did not practice on Thursday, according to Jeff Zeribek, Deesa Isaac, and Sanusi Kane, both with hamstrings. Perhaps even a greater point, and we got a knock on wood before I say this, but the most consequential players on injury reserve entering the final stretch of the season are the third tight end, Charlie Kolar, the second and third slot corner, Arthur Mollett, the fifth outside linebacker, Malik Ham, and the sixth or maybe seventh wide receiver, Deonte Hardy. To have everyone else at your disposal at this point of the season is basically unheard of.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. I've never seen an injury report this clean at the end of the year. And some of the big questions, Rashad Bateman, Kyle Van Noy, you go to Travis Jones also, were not all well for that Eagles game. They played to some degree. Actually, Van Noy sat it out, but Rashad Bateman played a little bit, and Travis Jones played, but he played kind of not up to full speed here. Jones isn't even on the injury report anymore. Rashad Bateman and Van Noy are both on as full for Wednesday and Thursday. Don't see any reason why they wouldn't be back. And then you got the hope of a couple activations.
Yes, certainly. So Michael Pierce perhaps could have played against the Eagles if he pushed it. The Ravens were prudent to hold him out. I certainly expect him to be back this week against the Giants to be activated to the roster. And TJ Tampanel, with a few full practices under his belt, it's been a long time coming this season, but they have another open roster spot. So I think those two players to be activated is probably – the way this 53 is going to shape up in Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Saturday, we should get the transactions that will tell us who they raised up from the practice squad, but also who they activated. And I would expect Pierce will be active this week. It sounded like he already had a full in the week prior to the bye. So I think, you know, bye week and then two full practices and, you know, looking forward to a third tomorrow, I would think he'll be active. I'm not 100% sure about Tampa, but you know, if they have the need, they may as well activate him for tomorrow. They're not paying anything to add him to the roster. He's already making his salary on IR currently. So at least from that perspective, they don't pay anything additional to put him back on.
Yep. Good point. And, you know, a player that could contribute on special teams hypothetically and also bring some value as a depth piece in the secondary that would benefit from gaining some game experience this season. Maybe this is a game with double-digit spread where he could showcase or at least gain some experience and cut his teeth a little bit. So a lot of the younger players, if the game goes as expected, second half of the fourth quarter would be a good proving ground for them.
Yeah, they really need to try and do that this week to get some of those other players in the game. And it's not just for their sake. It's for the sake of the three games in 11 days. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a very hard nut of the season. They'll be playing again on you know, limited rest or one day less rest against the Steelers on Saturday. And then they'll be playing again the following Wednesday. So
Christmas, yep.
Yeah, nightmarish kind of a set of games. Let's see. What else do we have to talk about here? I guess we'll move on to the mailbag at this point and talk about some things here. Am I missing anything, Voss?
No, the only thing I would just mention, keep a look for a potential Desmond King call up. I think if he is going to be called up, I think at post bye he's been in the organization, I should say, for several weeks now, and maybe he could earn an audition as well.
Yeah, that'd be great. And certainly they might want him for special teams. Adisa Isaac is out for this game. David Ajabo, no doubt, will be active as an outside linebacker, which means the Ravens are really going to want another special teams player, and a player like King would make a lot of sense as an activation this week. So we'll see how that works out. I did want to mention that the Giants injury,
the contrast,
which we did not do. It is a sharp contrast. The Giants have. Okay, let me make sure I have.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's right. 11 players. Nope, make it 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, 12 players. That's who were limited Wednesday. On Thursday, one of them returned to full. So they still have 11 limited. That includes six offensive linemen. One of those is DNP, actually, John Runyon, who I don't believe is going to play this week. But their entire offensive line is banged up to some degree. And it's not small things. It's neck, fibula, hip, ankle, knee and quad. So that's a bad set of injuries there.
They've had a rough go of it. Their best player on the team, Dexter Lawrence, is unavailable. Mm-hmm. Looking at their injury report, cluster injuries on the offensive line and the defensive line and the cornerback room. That is not a good combination heading into a matchup with a fresh and rested Baltimore Ravens team that's looking to extract some revenge on the NFC East after the Eagles game.
Yeah, I felt kind of sorry for Bobby Skinner, who did the Giants Know Your Foe episode that just posted today. But he basically said he didn't know who's going to be playing in the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Just in that kind of shape. They also have, besides the limiteds, they also have a 5-2 lead in DNPs over the Ravens for this, including Drew Lock, John Runyon, so your starting quarterback, and Bobby Okereke, and Drew Phillips, and another defensive lineman there, Nunez Roches.
Yeah, so, and they just put another DB on IR, I believe, on Wednesday. So they're hurting. Cool. They're hurting for sure.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get into some mailbag questions here this week, because we had some more good ones as always. And thank you guys, as always, hit us up with mailbag questions and we'll get to them. We got another one from Alec here, I see. So we got a new one came in here, but let's start with Lyman's Backpack, who says, I would like to officially kick off the campaign to not vote for Ronnie Stanley for Pro Bowl, as if he makes the Pro Bowl, I think he's saying, it costs the Ravens like $7 million in cap next year, I think. I don't know if that's true, by the way. I like Ronnie, and he may deserve it, but I like the Ravens more.
I agree. I like the Ravens more, too. Okay, I think we actually discussed this last season during Friday Morning GM, how it's the fans have a little bit of incentive to not vote for their favorite players due to the incentives that the players can earn that then impact the future salary cap. So team first, I agree.
All right. I'll just take it as a statement there. I understand where you're coming from anyway. And let's move on. Kid Rock 20. Can we give Travis Jones a week off to heal against the Giants? If we can't beat the Giants, who have 19 players on their injury report without Jones, this season is toast anyway. Here's what I don't like about that, Kid Rock, and I'll just start it off, and then I want to hear your thoughts too,
sure,
too, Voss. But your language seems to imply that this is the easiest game. All the Ravens need to do is show up, and they'll beat the Giants. That's exactly how trap games occur. right? And I know John Harbaugh will not allow this to happen because he's been very good in these particular situations when the Ravens are a big favorite. But I wouldn't want to try and get through this game without Jones, unless I really thought he would benefit from that additional time. And since he's been at full practice, I don't think that we're at that point anymore, but I could be wrong.
No, you hit the point perfectly. If he was limited or we weren't coming off the bye, I think we talked about this before the Eagles game as far as rest some players and see if they could benefit from a 2-week hiatus. But, Jones apparently is maybe a week off his feet. Who knows if he was in the Caribbean with his feet on a lounge chair or where he was. But it seems like he's doing better. So I would recommend maybe you limit his snaps a little bit if you can, when you can. But really that would go for most of the players if this game gets out of hand like we hope it does.
Yeah, and by the way, you can't limit the snaps for everybody. So particularly in the defensive line, it's already a rotational position. You don't have a young backup anywhere. Do you give Braddock Washington a few more snaps? Do you give Brent Urban a few more snaps? Sure, but those are veteran players. They're not real super young guys or anything. So the truth of the matter is you really can't get away from playing a substantial number of snaps on the defensive line. And that probably also goes for the offensive line. They can make some rotational changes because they'll have eight guys. This would be an opportunity to get, some other players on the field. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure.
All right, let's move on. Aaron St. Miller or Sant Miller maybe. On Over the Cap, cutting Williams with a post June 1 designation looks to save $12 million in 2025. More than the $5.3 million with a pre-June 1 designation. Now that's the number I always quote, the pre-June 1 designation, because that's the normal one that's used. But in fact, it is true. You can push a little bit more money to 2025 if you use that post-June 1 designation. And he continues with any reason why you don't think they would use the post-June 1 designation. Spreading the hit over 2 years seems appealing with 2025 cap situation.
It's just a different way to cut the pie. Do you want to pay it in 1 year? You want to pay it over 2 years, or would you rather restructure somebody and push some of his money forward? You got to pay the money. The money is the dead money stays dead. Doesn't matter whether you pay it in 25, 26, 27, 28. You can use void years. You can do restructures. You can do backloaded deals. But the guaranteed money and the dead money is always going to be the dead money. So, they have the people in the staff. DeCosta's staff who know how to manipulate these numbers to make every season competitive. And I'm sure they'll find a way, whether it's post June 1 or another lever to pull.
So it's all about retaining the optionality for cuts in the future that goes with this. So if you do extend a player, you may actually extend the period where you can't really cut him efficiently. So they might not want to do this. Effectively, we're talking to a lesser degree, a point in which Williams can't be cut efficiently. So he's got, a fair amount of money still on the books next year. And some of that can be spread over 2 years. That's a little bit better way to do it. Or it could be a little bit better way to do it if that's what the Ravens are really trying to do. But you're right in the money, Voss, is that it's you got to pay the same amount over 2 years either way.
I'd rather pay it up front, and then it gives you a little bit more flexibility to decide who you want to restructure or who, depending on how the first few months of the new league year progress. You can always create money. It's just what's the safest way to create money is really the key question.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm not even sure that they have to decide that until fairly late. So it may be almost to the time of the season that they can make their post June 1 designations, but you're allowed, I think, to do it retroactively. So there's one cut you can make and then count it as a post June 1. So
it's a courtesy to the players. It's a courtesy to the players instead of holding them until June, holding them hostage when you're going to release them. You allow them to latch on with another team, which is doing right by the player.
Okay. All right. We got one more question. Actually, we've got a couple more questions here, but the next one is from Soldier of God. I don't know if this guy's account name was always Soldier of God, but that's okay. Hi, can you please address the sticky topic that is the future of our Hall of Fame kicker, Justin Tucker? Do you know as anyone, Tucker and special teams have been an anchor pulling this team down this year. If JT9 is losing the battle to Father Time, we can't keep him. just on sentiment.
It's certainly a sticky topic. And there was some rumors circulating that I am not interested in sharing about Justin this year. But, you know, can you pick up the Chiefs kicker when Butker returns that just knocked through that 50-yarder to win? Maybe. I really do think that you play out this year with Tucker, see where you are, and then reassess the situation at the end of the year.
That's where I am as well. I think you got to try and fix this in-house right now. I do think the Ravens will adjust their strategy, and we've talked a little bit about that, I believe, if not on this show, certainly on other shows. But third and fourth down, sure, go ahead and change that right now. Going on fourth and 10 at the 35-yard line, no problem. Go ahead and do that if you want to. But I do think that it's probably premature to cut Tucker for the combination of the chance that he could recover and be very good again. The risk that it's another element of the operation, which I'm going to downplay that now because I don't really think that's what it is. But then also you have a cap situation, which makes it difficult to cut Justin Tucker. So between the combination of those things, I think you stay with him and you hope it works out. And if the Ravens at some point in the playoffs want to bring in another kicker, compete, and then activate him for games, they're not precluded from doing that. It'll just cost them a little bit of money to add that player.
I agree. And I think the key point there is if you can turn it around and you don't have to eat that dead money, that's really the ideal situation. So you have to sometimes hope for the best. Maybe he was able to regroup during this bye week and we'll see a little bit more consistency. Does your, just out of curiosity, while we're on the topic, would you be a little bit more aggressive as far as going for two as well, considering he's missed two extra pointers this year?
Yes. Okay. And it's not just a matter of that. It's a matter of the Ravens have been good in 2-point conversions over the last couple of years. I think they had a streak of 5 in a row and they might've missed their last two, but it's still, that's good enough for me to want to go for more 2-pointers. There are a lot of situations that come up in a game where going for two is appropriate and teams typically don't do it anyway. And one of the big one is, of course, you know, late in the game, you score to cut the lead to 8, and then you should go for 2 to cut it to 6. And almost always in the past, they used to kick in that situation. And now recently, the math has become more widely understood. And so coaches think they're taking less of a risk, and they call it the new math of football. It's been around since the 1980s, folks. And maybe before then, people, you know, actually, it's been around since the 90s in pro football because that's when the 2-point conversion came in. But it's not a new thing, and it's something that I hope they do more. And there's another a different cousin of that is when you're down 11, you can try and cut it to 9. Same way as you're trying to cut a 6, and you can also try and go up by 9. Late in the game. So there are a handful of situations across the break-even chart where mathematicians would say be more aggressive. And I think the Ravens are well positioned to do so because I think they have a good 2-point conversion team.
Yeah, those key numbers are key, as they call them. And it depends on the play call. I like Lamar RPO to the right side, not to the left. But right to the right, that's pretty dang tough to stop when you have Henry and the tight ends and everybody else there. Yep.
You got a big choice there. You're usually forcing one player into that allows somebody, Nick Boyle, that used to be, or somebody like that to be open right behind him, whether it's Kohler now or Andrews or whoever. All right. We got a question from Voss here. From Alec. And I'm going to have to put this off till next week because he sent us an article about the evolution of quarterback contracts that I'm going to have to read before we give it the time it deserves. But Vasa, always a pleasure doing this show with you. Tell folks where they can talk to you online if they have a football question.
Sure. Ken, my pleasure as well. Always look forward to this every week. I am at Vasilis Fiamata, VASILISFIAMATA on Twitter X, and always enjoy a good Ravens, particularly strategic and roster strategy conversation. So tag me in.
All right. Very cool. Other folks out there, please take a look at other film study content that's out there this week. A lot to do, but one thing we're kind of proud of and didn't get a chance to talk with Voss about, would have been nice to have him as a third or maybe even add more people to this, was a draft, a supplemental draft of Ravens to add to this current roster. fill some holes. And the rules were that you can't take anyone who played for the, you could take a look at players who played for the Ravens, but no one who had more than one Pro Bowl. Because obviously everybody would love to have Jonathan Ogden on this team and, you know, Ed Reed and whatnot. Ed Reed probably even more than anybody else. But it's actually a really interesting thing when you reduce the level of the player that you can draft. And I'm thinking next year, like prior to the season, it would be fun to have a 4 to 6 people involved in a draft of all Ravens past players, how you would supplement the current roster talent. I think that'd be fun to do.
Yeah, cool show. I caught probably at least half of that on my way into the restaurant this morning with Slava. And cool idea for sure. Count me in next year, whatever you want to do.
All right, we'll do that. We have a lot of volunteers for that, so that's good. For Vasil Ricos, this is Ken McKusick saying goodbye. We'll talk to you next week on Friday Morning GM.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
If you're a facilities manager at a university, you know students rely on the cafeteria for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the occasional late-night snack. So when a dishwasher breaks down and dirty plates pile up, the mess hall can turn messy in the blink of an eye. Enter Grainger. With over 1 million industrial-grade products and fast delivery, the product you need now is never far away. So you can turn that dishwasher back into a lean, clean washing machine. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.